Oh my goodness, as soon as I hit the transmitted button, your sound quality just like melts.
Maybe it's your end then.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is my end. Hello and welcome to 2 weeks in a... 2 weeks in a brew. Two trolls in a brew. Two brews in a troll.
Got there.
This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering, trolling people, apparently not getting words in the right order. This week is episode 55, Cam Robot, which is what we lovingly call Travis. Subtitle... I'm pointing at you, so you can tell us the subtitle. Oh, you picked it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was... Yeah, that works better. What did I subtitle? Legacy Lost. Hey, you know what? I was just at work for almost 8.5 hours today. I'm doing pretty good.
I streamed for like 7 hours today, which is a lot of streaming time. Say what?
I said it must be.
Is this where? I mean, I was actually thinking about taking your lead and building a standing desk for the stream. It's hot. In fact, my ass chair is on right now. My ass fan chair is on right now. Very hot. However, I had some real fun. I'm just going to throw this out here super fast before we get into the actual show. I hung out a little bit off camera on a friend's stream, just kind of helped him fill dead air and stuff like that. And the amount of times that he was complaining that he just completely screwed up his game or what he was trying to do, whatever, ridiculously high. Because people don't realize how hard it is to like talk and give commentary, interact with the chat room. Do all these things while trying to play the game and be good at it. It's right. Very tough. That's why a lot of people, when they record the videos, they add commentary after the fact. So people like LSV, who does a really great job of commenting why they're playing and watching the chat room, interacting in the chat room. Caleb does a good job. I like to think I do a good job, although I don't play a lot of Magic because I don't have a lot of income right now. But it's hard. It's a skill. Like, it is not easy at all. And I see a lot of people giving people a hard time in the chat rooms because they're not very skilled at it. But then you look at other people who are bad, and yet their audiences are huge. Like, I just don't understand it. Play skills down. Communication skills down. I don't understand how they have this huge audience. But again, this is not a podcast about streaming. This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering. Travis, shall we jump right into the meat of the show this week?
Yeah.
Troll cards of the week, Mother Trucker. What's your troll card?
My troll card is Fling.
Fling, the red instant, or the red spell? I think it's an instant, right?
Yeah, it's an instant. So it costs
a red instant to like...
Red. And as an additional cost to cast it, you sacrifice a creature, and then it deals damage.
Any creature
that you control.
Okay. And then
it deals damage equal to that creature's power to target player or creature.
Nice. So, ha ha ha, you put a removal spell on my guy. Instead, you're going to eat this thing in the face.
Yeah, yeah. It's, instead of you killing my thing, I'll kill it, and you'll take damage for it.
Right. It's a good spell. It's been used in a lot of decks. How's this a troll card?
Because nobody took it as highly as I did during the spooky draft.
Spooky draft!
Yeah, I'm not doing that, but... Yeah. During the spooky draft.
Okay. Well, then... I know we have a story mark down here, so let me just talk about my troll card for a quick second. Captured by the Consulate?
Yes.
I'm about 80% positive I said that right. Awesome.
Yes.
It is an enchantment aura for a white and 3 generic mana. The text is, enchant creature you don't control Enchanted creature can't attack. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, if it has a single target, change the target of the enchanted creature if able. So if it's basically, it's a four mana removal spell that says, hey, your guy is useless. And the next time you cast a removal spell, it has to target your guy.
Right.
Or a burn spell or whatever. I have the feeling this card could be very good in a lot of sideboards.
Especially if you can, like, figure out a way to make their creature indestructible as well. I think that would be hilarious.
I just think it would be very good if you can have a way to pick up this enchantment at instant speed. Like, say, after a removal spell has been cast and the target has been changed.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I'm going to put this card back in my hand. Like, I think there's a lot of interesting... Wow, look at that. Look at the throwback from last week's show.
If only we could have...
Could I have possibly? But, yeah, there's a lot of interesting possibilities with this card, I think. And I have the feeling this may not be, like, the best main deck card. But I think that there's going to be situations where, like, in a control-heavy game, that this could be a very interesting sideboard option.
Right.
So, and again, I think if you have a deck like the kind of deck we were kicking around last week that highly uses things like Aether Tradewinds or other bounce effects that can hit any of the permanents you control, that this is a card that can have some interesting effects. For example, the area mechanic that we were going on about so much last week, if you could blink it at instant speed, then it could pick it up, right? So you can, like, chain some effects together to make it happen. Eldrazi Displacer hitting that creature. Like, there's a lot of things that I think can kind of make things happen. So Capture the Cultslet, I think, has a lot of interesting play. If they're having spells at target. Thank you, very loud motorcycle.
That was a
truck. Appreciate it. I'm pretty sure the guy down up the street has a motorcycle that sounds like that.
Yeah, but that was a
truck. But I could be wrong. Okay. Well, then F his couch, too. Anyway. So I want to hear all about this spooky draft and why Fling made the list this week.
All right. So essentially one of the other players up here, he decided to run it by the store owner that instead of our, you know, normal standard draft that we do every Monday, that since it would be on Halloween, that we just do all five of the Innistrad blocks or sets. And then, pay the difference in price. And what was it? Like, people...
And this is spooky?
Yeah, because, you know, Innistrad deals with vampires and werewolves and all the spirits and all that other crap. And
did they at least lower the lights?
No.
Oh, bummer.
That's stupid.
No, it's got to be spooky. You lower the lights, put on a little... like 70s porn music.
Yeah.
That's some seriously spooky stuff.
So basically everybody was just drafting one of the five sets of Innistrad and nobody picked up Fling except for me and one other guy. And there's, I think between us, I think we had four Flings, which...
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was quite kind of hefty, but yeah, and that's why it made it, because I had Drolf's Messenger. Do you remember what that one is?
Isn't that the 3/4 from the new set here?
No. It's from one of the older ones. It costs 3 black mana. It's a 3/2 that comes into play tapped, and when it enters, each opponent or target opponent loses 2 life. And then it has Undying. So when it hits the graveyard, if it didn't have a counter on it, put it back into play with a +1/+1 counter.
Okay.
So basically what I did was the general play that I happened to get most of the time was play a one drop and then turn two, play a two drop, you know, basically just get some defense going. And then turn three, play Eldritch Evolution, sacrificing my one drop and getting Drolf's Messenger, dealing them two damage.
Right.
And then attacking with it until they blocked. And then when they blocked, you know, if it killed it, it came back in, dealing two more damage to them. Plus now it's a 4-3. And then if they tried to kill it, I flung it at them. So, I mean, essentially...
Well, I mean, essentially, it seems okay.
Yeah, it's 8 damage for a 3-mana creature. Pretty good.
Yeah, no, it sounds all right. Like, I'd be okay with that combo. Especially if you had a good way to, like, somehow recycle the 1-1 counter, take it off.
Right.
You could just keep it going, but...
But I didn't.
Yeah. Right, that's sad. But, I don't know, I'm looking forward to some details on this spooky draft. Like, how you did.
I went 2-1.
Did you? 2-1? And there was, what, 8 people?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, if it was 3 rounds.
Yeah, but even if it's more, the store owner doesn't want the place to be open past a certain time, so it's always just...
Oh, yeah.
Even if there's more, and that's kind of stupid in my opinion. Like, in my opinion, if you're going to hold an event, you need to make time for it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, but at the same time, like, I realize that life as a store owner is hard, and trying to make everybody happy isn't going to be possible. Well, but still, like, it is, there's a lot of challenges involved. And I'm not particularly defending this situation, but I am defending, sometimes we don't understand, as players, you know, we don't necessarily understand certain decisions. And we can complain about them, you know, you're welcome to do so, it's America, but we need to realize that there are probably some sort of reasons
involved. His reason is he doesn't want to pay his part-time employee more than 4 hours a night.
That's a reason. I mean, I can respect that as a reason, but it would behoove him probably. He might end up profiting additional money if he could occasionally stay open later, so he pays his part-time employee six hours
right
one night, or 7 hours one night, and he might end up making more money. I don't know. Like I said, he's obviously weighed the pros and the cons for himself and made a decision. So, like I said, being on the other side of the shoe, some things why they look weird to me. I'm like, I still don't understand why we're doing something this way or stuff like that. And I try to, like, get some things changed. I've really found that people have reasons for things and they just stick to them. Doesn't really matter what those reasons are, or maybe how outdated that reason is, but they're still just going to. This is, and I think that actually, real quick, I think that applies to many facets of life. And I'm going to talk about the election for just a little second, kind of a roundabout. But people seem to have picked one side or the other for a handful of reasons, and they seem to overlook the negative qualities about their team's candidate. And it's irritating when you're talking to somebody who's kind of looking outside, looking in, being like, whoa, this and this and this and this are really bad. And they're like, yeah, but this and this. I'm like, okay, but does that outweigh this? And all of a sudden they're like, no. I'm like, if it wasn't an election, right, would you still feel like this is okay or worth voting over or whatever? And almost always I get a no, but yet somehow in this particular election, and the last couple of elections also, I would say, it's been rah-rah team, rah-rah team. And it's I don't understand it. But I'm not a sports ball fan either. And I know that Travis knows some people who are sports ball teams, and they're very much the same way, right? Like,
well, I mean, sports is a lot easier than politics because sports is.
Well, I'm not even necessarily talking that particular situation. I'm just saying once you've latched on to something, you're hard to rationally change your mind. And right. Sports and politics both are, I think, hand in hand when you look at it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You know, same thing with like decks. Like, I like control decks. I don't care for aggro decks, although I find myself now switching more and more to these combo aggro decks.
I like decks that are fun. I don't care if it's a control deck, if it's an aggro deck, if it's a mid-range deck. As long as I'm having fun doing it, then I want to do it.
Yeah, we've talked about this many times. Like, you'll go to a tournament, like a bigger tournament, and you'll devote your entire day to doing said tournament.
Right.
And you'll potentially travel, and you'll spend all this money, and you'll go to this tournament and realize that the deck choice that you picked will probably result in you winning, like, one in X. Right. But you're going to piss off X plus two people.
Yeah.
By the fact that you picked this deck, and that's all you want to do. It's worth it to you.
Right.
I can't do that. I to me, winning is part of the replay of magic.
Take care of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I understand.
I just hate you're people. Boring. That's the one. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. All right, so anything else about the spooky draft? No?
Nope, other than I got the Drolf's Messenger and immediately traded it for a combustible gear hole.
Right. Wow, that guy's that high?
The Messenger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Messenger is sitting anywhere between $5 and $9.
I'm impressed.
Well, it's a really good card.
For a card that, but again, at the same time, like, other than kind of the mono black devotion deck in Modern, like I don't think I've seen him in a deck list anywhere. And the only reason why I even thought of the name is when you started to tell me about the card. I went, oh, yeah, I remember seeing a card like that in this mono-black devotion deck.
Okay, so you know how, what is it, Malaria Pod? Do you remember that deck in Modern?
I do.
So I do. My question, why didn't they ever, or was it just negative counters that counted towards Malaria?
So Malaria says creatures you control can get -1/-1 counters.
Okay.
So things like Persist that comes back and gives a -1 counter can't go on it. Okay. And then you also have the card that says when a creature comes into play, Bolster, which puts a 1/1 counter. And when you have a 1/1 counter and a -1 counter, they kill each other.
Right.
So it gets rid of it. Something like Undying, where it gains a +1/+1 counter, would be counterintuitive to that list.
Yeah.
If you had something that said remove a 1/1 counter to do something awesome, then it would make more sense.
Right. And see, that's what I was kind of like getting at. Like, what if someone could make a list around that would make it functional?
I mean, I think someone probably could. There's all these cards that deal with +1/+1 counters are important that have come out of the last couple sets in particular, including a guy I think that steals 1/1 counters, right? But that takes mana.
Well, it costs X and 2 life. Or black. If you're talking about the Hex Parasite.
No, I was thinking about the legendary guy that's like hybrid green-white, I think, or green-black or something. Like, he's white, and it must be green-white, because it was the generals that they printed that were the clans. Okay. And it's like hybrid mana, one, steal all the 1/1 counters off of a creature.
Hmm. I don't know. Hex Parasite just seems easier.
It could be. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that involves 1-1 counters.
Because Hex Parasite, it takes the counters from any permanent.
This also did. Let's see. Not Kamigawa.
Could it
one more time?
Planeswalkers?
I don't think this did that. I think it specifically was 1-1 counters that it dealt with.
Oh, well then Hex Parasite.
I'm looking
better.
Here. Maybe. I don't know.
Because it's a...
like I said, I'm looking...
One-mana artifact.
Here we go. Dathatar the Adamant. Vigilance. It enters the battlefield with 4 1-1 counters. Green or black hybrid. So, Golgari hybrid?
Yeah.
Golgari 1. Move a 1-1 counter from target creature onto a second creature. So, you'd be able to take a +1/+1 counter from your Undying guy and put it on your Persist guy and cancel out the trigger.
Nah, just use Hex Parasite.
But it's 3 mana.
Yeah, use Hex Parasite. Look that one up. It's so much better.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'm just saying that there are cards out there that deal with moving around these 1-1 counters, and it's possible that there is something out there that says remove a 1-1 counter from a creature and do something cool.
Like this guy.
There you go. You're full screen now. Pull it up again. Show everybody the scariness. The blurriness. Okay.
So basically, it costs a colorless mana. It's a 1-1. X and Phyrexian mana. Remove up to X counters from target permanent. For each counter removed this way, Hex Parasite gets +1/+0 until end of turn. And the Phyrexian mana can be paid with either black or 2 life. So,
it could be fine.
That's a nice card you got there. It would be a shame if it didn't have anything left.
Oh, like I said, I think there's a lot of possibilities. I had the feeling that since all those things involve a cost besides, just removing the counters.
Right.
It probably won't end up going in some sort of combo like that.
Yeah.
Where if you had something that said pay, remove a +1/+1 counter, colon, gain 2 life, like, I don't know, say, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a creature that does that. I can't think of this name now. Spike Feeder, maybe?
Sure.
But it doesn't do it from any creature. It just does it from itself. But it would do that work. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. It doesn't get played anywhere that I can think of except for the mono black deck. And that's because it's black, black, black for its casting cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it wants all the big devotion spells so it can finish you off with the black zombie. I think it's a zombie. When it enters the battlefield, it drains your opponent out equal to the devotion to black.
Yep. Gray Merchant.
Gray Merchant, that's why it's in that deck. So anyhow, before we get too deep into our first real topic, I want to touch on, once again, I was wrong about something.
Oh, this is, I know, right?
Go figure. This time, there is a Magic card that I think because somebody in the Salina... one of the Salina Magic groups found out that they had made some of the rulings in them kind of tongue-in-cheekish, that they noticed this card, and this is the Gaunte, Lord of Luxury.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, this card is a black-black 2-mana, 2/3 legend with Death Touch that basically takes the top card of an opponent's library. Top 4 cards to target opponent's library. Exile 1, face down, put the rest on the bottom. And then there's a line in here that I missed that says, for as long as that card is exiled, you may play that card and consider any color mana. Basically, all your lands become generic lands for purposes of casting the spell. So, or gold lands or whatever you want to call them, rainbow lands. So basically... somebody asked me, they said, hey, And actually, I think this was a question. My wife had this creature, and somebody asked for them. And basically went, hey, if we remove this creature, you can't play this card anymore, right? And I didn't read the card all the way through. I'm going to be totally honest. I kind of read through, saw what the gist of the card was, and went, well, normally these things have to have the permanent in play to cast the spell if it's involved, right? So I think about things like, is it Jester's Cap that did this? And then there's one from Cold Snap that kind of did the same thing. We could counter a spell if it was something that was exiled with the with that permanent. Like, yeah, there's whatever. There's like a lot of those cards that are templated in such a way the permanent that does the exiling has to be in play. So they changed the line in here by saying as long as the card remains exiled, you can do this, which is different. And I got it wrong, and I think my wife still won that game anyway, but she should have had the ability to cast that card.
Right.
But one of the things that they did was they said, if you leave the game, the card remains exiled face down indefinitely, and no player may look at it.
Okay.
Forever.
Yeah.
Somebody just has to walk up there and tape it down to the wall. Oh, we got some sweet action over here.
Yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, you're playing, that card can't be viewed. Except by...
No, if you leave the game. Like, you get up to go to the bathroom. And then, or you just quit the game. Like, oh, this game's over. I've left this game. I think that's what I get out of it, right? It's like, oh, you know what? I have to go pick up my stuff, put it in my box, get my bag, and I leave. That card has to stay there on that table for infinitum. Like, you get out the scotch tape, and you scotch tape it down to the table so no one can pry it up. That card is just gone.
Good.
It's like an Annie card.
It deserves to be gone.
That's right. Screw that card. It said bad things about your mama.
Even if you don't like her.
So let's get into the meat of this week's show. I got a message from Travis on, let's call it Tuesday. No, right after we finished the podcast, it seems like. So, like, let's say Thursday, right? And you basically said wanted to talk about... It doesn't matter. Pick a day. Friday. You said you have a deck that you wanted to talk about, or at least a deck concept you wanted to talk about.
Right.
So what are we talking about here?
When I sent the message, I wanted it to be Jund control, or Jund mid-range. Black, red, and green. And then on Monday after the draft... We went and we just, you know, we kept playing just standard and everything. And I ended up building a deck and took out all the green entirely. And so now it's just Rakdos control. I mean, you know, everyone's on the hype about the red black discard aggro deck or whatever.
Right. I'm even in love with it.
Right. I mean, it's a good deck. But I want to go the control route. Because, I don't know, I think I like playing control, but I don't really like playing blue unless it's aggro, which is really weird. But I ended up, on my first run through of the deck, I ended up running a pretty sweet mid-range burn deck. And it involves...
I'm with you.
Obviously, it involves two of each of the Chandras, or just four Chandras total, the Torch of Defiance and then the other one, the six-mana one.
Okay.
Thought Not Seers, because no matter what, the card's going to be ridiculously good.
Great.
the Goblin Dark Dwellers. Let's see. The creature base is Goblin Dark Dwellers, Thought Not Seer, and Combustible Gear Hulk. And then, like removal, I have Unlicensed Disintegration. And I don't know if this is right, but I still like it. Whispers of Imrakul. Because after you get Delirium, it's basically a Thought Not, or a Hymn to Torak.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you, except I want to interrupt.
Okay.
So, you know what this sounds like to me?
No.
As you kind of run through it? No. Well, I'm going to tell you. It reminds me of what I am doing control list. Right? Okay. Like, basically, it's red-black, and it's splashing white for the man list, or creature lands, or whatever you want to call them. And a couple of... I think I'm running two Declaration in Stones, and then two 6-mana Sorens.
Okay.
But everything else in the card, in the deck list, is very similar to what you're doing. I have the discard in the sideboard instead of in the main, because there are matches where I want to bring the discard in, but I don't necessarily want it in the main. And I run a lot more removal spells in the main. So I wonder if...
No, like I
wonder if we have similar thoughts in here.
I have a lot of
removal. I mean...
Because I have Incendiary Flow, Fiery Temper, Essence Extraction, and Unlicensed Disintegration. That's 14 spot removal spells.
And that is a bunch, and I'm not going to disagree with you.
Then I have the Noxious Gear Hulk, a playset of that, for removal. Four Chandras and a single Obnixilis.
Gear Hulk, the 5-mana Planeswalker Obnixilis.
Yeah. So, I mean, turns 4, 5, and 6, I can potentially play, Planeswalkers that are...
Right.
Like, the least powerful of them is Obnixilis, and he still is card advantage or removal.
Right, he's great. How many card draw spells do you have in there?
Chandra and Combustible Gear Hulk.
I got a weird lag spike right there. I heard Bubblegum Gear Hulk.
Oh, well, it's actually Combustible.
Okay,
but Bubblegum works.
I don't think he kind of draws cards if they want you to.
Right.
He's
the the 6/6 version of Browbeat.
Right. We talked about it last week. But for me, in my Mardu deck that again I feel is very similar, I run three. Torturing Voice, I think, right? That's the discarded card, draw two. And three of the Live Fast that gets you two energy, loses you two life, and draws you two cards.
Right.
That's like my Reed to Bone replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to add, as soon as I have enough Harness Lightning, I'm going to put those in instead of the -4/-4
okay.
Grasp of Darkness. And I'll put the Grass of Darkness in the sideboard. And what I found to be really awesome is the Dynavolt Tower. Like, two of them in the main. Because then they don't die to opposing removal spells.
Okay, right.
And then if they see them game one or game two, you can leave it in, take them out. What was that?
Plus that fuels Unlicensed Disintegration.
Correct. So, and there's nothing sweeter than, like... Unlicensed Disintegration for 3 damage, get 2 energy, gear or Goblin Dark Dwellers back, kill something else, 3 energy, or 3 damage, 2 more energy, and have a 4/4 Menace guy. Like, it hits all the buttons, especially when you can turn around and Lightning Bolt them again. That's 9 damage. and a 4/4 meniscate creature.
Okay.
So I really like how my Mardu deck is working. There are some things that I'd like to change. Like, I would much rather have Read the Bones over the one that makes mana or right. makes energy. Scry 2, I think, is much stronger than make 2 energy. But again, with Thunderbolt Tower, it makes 4 energy, so maybe it's better. I don't know. But I'll have to get that deck list out pretty soon. I know we've been talking about it on again, off again for several weeks now.
Right.
And I've not put together an official list for it yet. I've really only had a couple of tournaments that I thought were kind of big enough to pull that particular deck out. And I lost to... Who did I lose to? I only dropped one match. Oh, yes, I lost to LJ, my friend from Manhattan, playing the dwarf copter deck. Mm-hmm. The aggro copter deck. And that was the only person I lost to. And I only lost to him in the last game, I believe, because I mulliganed to 4.
Okay.
And proceeded to flood out where he, like, curved out perfectly. And even though I dealt with, like, his first 7 creatures, after that, I just couldn't do anything else. So he crushed me to smuggler copters, like I deserved for mulliganing to 4. But, I don't know, I like your idea. Like, I've been trying to figure out how I could cut the black out of the deck. Or at least cut it way back.
Black's one of the better cards.
Black, it is. I think you're right. But I think, because I had so many double black casting cost spells, it made the mana so much harder. Where things like getting rid of the Grasp of Darkness list, or something, like... I think there's a way that I could adjust some things where it goes closer to red, white, splashing black than it is red, black, you know, touching white for things like the Manlands and the and certain powerful planeswalkers and certain removal spells. So, I don't know. I would like to get the double black casting cost spells out is what I'm trying to say.
That's too bad.
Yeah, because stuff like Ruinous Path is insanely good. The Vindicate for 3 life, the instant speed.
Mm-hmm.
That card's very good. Sorin, again, is very good.
Yeah, Noxious Gear Hulk is insane.
If I had a Noxious Gear Hulk, I would be very pleased. I would probably go slightly more Reanimator-esque if I had a set of the Gearhulks. Yeah, they're very pretty.
Just run Travis
flashing.
4 of them at all times.
Just run 4 of them. Well, I mean, they're good. I would certainly give them a shot if I had them, but right now I don't. Right now I'm lucky to have 3 Smuggler's Copters, to be fair.
I traded those things away.
Yeah, I picked them up now that they've come down a little bit. I think I picked them up for $11-ish or $12 each from the local game store here.
Yeah, I sold mine for about, well, trade value worth for about $20 a pop.
Yeah, I wasn't going to pick them up at that price, but now that they're kind of falling, put them in there. Speaking of real fast, of cards, maybe this should have been the troll card of the week. The Call of the Bloodline? I know we've talked about it before, but since I started playing that discard deck and I don't have enough smuggler's copters, I'm running one of those as a smuggler's copter and a second copy as something else. I forget exactly what. That card is ridiculous in that deck. Like, it's a discard outlet that makes a creature, and it does not die to most removal spells in the format. Like, it's an instant speed, discard effect, makes a dude. I am really impressed by the power of that card. I will probably change my list to include 2 copies of it at all times now in the main.
Right.
I'm really impressed with it. Let's see. Where are we at? We're at 8 o'clock, so we got a little bit more time. It's so weird trying to tape this time of day.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm so much more low energy.
So you know what really irritates me?
Oh. Communists.
It doesn't really bother me. Different governments work different ways. What really irritates me, they haven't started rebuilding the stairway.
We got to start the whole story.
Okay, so let's just say this is going to be the easiest way that I know how to do it. This is shitty land. Let's just say this length is one stair. All
right? Right. That's a stair tread.
That much of it was missing.
Okay.
Off of it. You know, just that. Not even half of the stair. So what they do is on Sunday, while I'm at work, they did this to the entire staircase. All right? And, like, don't worry, it was just an island. All right?
You should turn it over.
There's
you
that.
Should be... You should have like a tore up expedition or something sitting right over there and be like, don't worry, it's only a hollowed fountain.
It's only an island and a plane. Damn it. But no, so they just destroyed the entire staircase, which is directly below my apartment. So now not only do I not have the ability to walk there, I have to go all the way to the other side of the building. Which we have, what is it, like 8 apartments on each, you know, it's like 8 lengths or whatever, 8 apartment lengths.
Sure.
And.
So what I'm hearing is you're getting in shape.
No, not even that. Like, it's just an inconvenience. And they haven't even started fixing it. They removed some of the rocks or some of the rubble or whatever. But. Now, because they didn't want to look at, like, a foot of damaged property, now they have an entire pile of damaged property that is a bigger fire hazard than it was before.
So I'm going to throw this up on the screen here real fast if I can get my share screen to work easily. And so basically this is what I get from Travis on Saturday or Sunday night.
Yeah.
Is this picture. And I'm, like, looking at it on my phone, and I'm like, what the – I don't even know what this is. Like, all I could say is, okay, whatever you need. And Travis begins to explain this situation to me, and I'm just like, oh. And then I get the message, by the way, we definitely can't record why this is being, you know, worked on. Because, you know, I'm assuming there's jackhammers involved. And sledgehammers and mallets and stuff. And you tell me that your sister swears the whole building was shaking.
Right.
While they're working on this.
Like, she
it's a massive... What's a massive concrete staircase? Like, yeah, you're probably going to feel that. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever it takes, I guess. So
yeah. They haven't even,
we had to move our time back now.
Like, they haven't even bothered, like... starting the reconstruction of it. So, I mean, if there's a fire at the other end of the building, everyone's just going to die. I mean, me, I'm going
to
jump out.
I mean, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to die in a fire.
No. You jump out the window.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, that's what those guys did in 9/11. They didn't want to die in a fire, so they jumped out the window.
Right.
I mean, come on. Think things through, Travis. Think things through.
Honestly, if I ever worked in a building that was, like, that high up, I would just bring a parachute to work every day.
I would definitely have a parachute. I don't think I'd have it every day. I think I would leave it there in my office in, like, a fireproof safe.
Right.
Along with, like, whatever it takes to shoot the window out.
Apparently.
So I could get out.
Chair.
I... I don't know how. Like, you had to be seriously motivated to knock a window out of a skyrise with a chair.
Right.
But God bless him. Well, let's talk about emails real fast. So, friend of the show, Joseph, our one and only guest, sent us an email last
week. He's not our one and only guest. You recorded with that other guy.
He was a guest host.
Okay.
That's totally different.
Okay.
He was a co-host, like you, except just on a temporary basis. Joseph sent us an email, says, "Hey, I posted a new brew on the MTG Goldfish. His name, The Machine. I didn't come up with a sideboard, but I can tell you it'll probably be removal and four copies of Smuggler's Copter. Let me know what you think." That's it. That's the whole email. No link, no picture, no deck list, nothing. So I go to look at the MTG Goldfish website today before the show to try to find it. I am currently on page 13, and these decks have been posted 6 hours ago, and I'm looking at a page that's four across by, it looks like, 10 tall. So I'm looking at 40 decks a page, and we're at 6 hours. So sorry, Joe, we're not going to look at your deck. I have now we're at 7 hours ago on page 14. But we've also been talking on the podcast for about an hour, so.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find it.
I mean.
So. It just blows my mind.
Oh.
A link.
Oh, Joe.
Deck list. I need 2 seconds. So what I'm trying to say is I've looked at a lot of decks right now, and I'm just going to click one.
Skip forward like 200 pages?
You can skip currently. You can go to 1 or 2, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, or 1,531.
Try page 21.
Okay.
And go up increments of
7 hours
eight.
Ago.
All right, now go to the next biggest one.
Okay, 25, 7 hours ago. 29, 7 hours ago. I don't think you guys realize how much use this website is. 7 hours ago, I'm on page 33.
Skip 1,000 pages.
I can't.
I thought you said...
If I skip that, I go... No, I go to 1,531.
Yeah, go to that one.
Okay. You want me to go to that one?
Yeah.
That one is over 1 year ago.
Nice.
And I can't narrow it down anymore. I can't put a title in. I can't put a username in. I can't do anything. If I had a page number ID... At least that number up there, I could do something. I literally, there's not anything I can do. So instead, we're going to talk about a completely different deck that I picked almost at random. This deck has been submitted by, I shit you not, Dil Nindo.
Is that the one you have?
D-I-N-I-L-O-O. No, I didn't link it. I just literally picked it at random just now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat. So this deck is a blue-black summons deck. It's actually called Blue-Black Summonings Sand Art. Stand Art, for like standard artwork, I guess. 4 select for inspections, 2 anticipates. 3 Grasp of Darkness, 3 Chilling Grasp. Do you know what that card is off the top of your head? It is an instant from... What's the one with the Imrakul symbol? Shadows, or Eldritch Moon?
Yeah.
And it says, tap up to 2 creatures. Those creatures do not untap during their controller's next untap step. Madness for 4.
Okay.
Grip the Royal, Murder... Pieces of the Puzzle, Engulf the Shore, Gissa's Biting. That's the make 2 zombies.
Yeah.
Glimmer of Genius, One Crush of Tentacles, one Rise from the Tides, four summonings, Melodic summonings, islands and stuff like that. So honestly, I like this deck, except it's got all these madness cards and no madness enablers.
Right.
If this deck had, let's just say, four, all the bloodline, lands? I would be in love.
Does it have
lands? Does it have lands?
Madness enablers?
It's got 11 islands, two Evolving Wilds, a Submerged Boneyard, so that's the tapped blue-black dual land, and seven Swamps.
Okay.
So I think it's just hoping to make to discard the hand size.
All right.
To enable Madness cards if it needs it. Or maybe they're just planning on playing the Madness cards just straight up. But I would play this deck if it had... if two of these four of these select for inspections were instead one select for inspection and say three call the bloodlines, I would take it.
Right.
Because you just don't have any advantage here for playing all these discard or madness cards. I think the idea is that it's ultra budget. According to this online, it's less than $10.
Okay.
But I don't know. I've been looking at trying to put together some sort of Metallurgic Summons deck. And this one looks so fine. I think it's incredible. Like, I picked up a playset, and I'm just dying to figure out which deck I want to put together with it. I'm honestly kind of thinking just some sort of blue-green, just play all the lands. Just play all the lands. There's got to be some sort of X spell somewhere that's good. I don't know what.
Avacyn's Judgment?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it also requires a Madness Enabler, but...
Right.
I don't know. I was thinking there has to be something better than the green X, put all lands you find on the top of your deck into play or something.
Well, that one just...
But I don't think that's legal anymore.
No.
So I don't know. There's got to be some big expensive thing that's awesome.
But
I don't know. I'm going to keep fiddling around. What's that do?
XX and green, return X cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Maybe. Oh, that's the green. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Metallurgic.
I know what you're talking about. Hey. And just all the different fogs. I mean, there's not a ton, but...
There's,
I mean, you're running things like Chilling Grasp.
Right. What is it?
You also have the 2/2 with Reach, the 2-drop, that discard a card to make it +1/+1.
Oh, yeah. The Noose Constrictor.
Yeah, yeah. Man, all of a sudden this green, blue, Melodic Summon / Madness deck seems good.
Right.
And then you can splash black, right? You splash black, and isn't one of the black sorceries, if you madness it, isn't it an X, like XX? You get like X zombies, and they like... Yeah, do they lose life too, or does it just make X zombies?
Yeah, they lose life, equal to X. Isn't it that?
Oh my god.
I know
we've just brewed a terrible deck, guys.
Yeah, it's gonna be
terrible awful deck.
Hold on. Yeah, because it's from under the floorboards. You also have Dark Salvation.
Which one's that one?
XX and black. Target player puts X 2/2 black zombie tokens onto the battlefield. Then up to one target creature gets neg X until end of turn for each zombie that player controls.
That's not bad. How about, okay, so you're using the green spell, right? Hang on one second. Using the green spell that puts cards back from your graveyard to your hand, right?
Yeah.
What about the black choose spell where you choose two, like lose a bunch of life, sacrifice a bunch of creatures? You were using it not that long ago. Oh, I'll have to find it. Keep going. You do your thing now.
Another Madness Enabler. Wolf Infiltrator. So it costs one and a blue.
Sacrifice a card and it flips?
No. So it costs one and a blue. It's a 1/1 with skull. When it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. Whenever you discard a creature card, you may pay 2. If you do, get a 3/2 Eldrazi Horror.
Huh. I'm not familiar with that one. That could be okay.
Ta-da! It looks like this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know that one. Must be a draft card. I decided it was bad and then never looked at it again.
That's possible. Also, there's
Remorseless Punishment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because, like, one of the best ways to win with that deck was to cast, like, Remorseless Punishment, like, 3 times.
Right.
Off doing crazy stuff, like sacrifice a land and pay a bunch of mana to clone it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, you pay Remorseless Punishment. The target opponent loses 5 lives unless you discard 2 cards or sacrifice a creature or planeswalker. Repeat. And you get a 5/5.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think these are all bad ideas, but I think they're fun.
Which means...
But I could totally see something happen here.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at that point, are we really just splashing green to get the Wildest Dreams and then just having it be a blue-black deck?
Maybe. Maybe. Okay, so let's do this. Let me just... All right, so I'm going to switch the Gatherer to Standard.
Okay.
Come on. And I'm going to search for Madness and just look at green and blue, or black and blue cards.
Okay.
Right? So we have a couple enablers, right? We have Call the Bloodline. What's another good enabler? Like instant speed, do whatever we want.
Noose Constrictor.
Well, that's green, but we could play it. I think we want a black or blue outlet. We'll have to look specially. Let's assume that we could find another outlet. Okay. So just things with just sorceries and instants that have madness in them. Alms of the Vein.
Mm-hmm.
Right, one black. Drain them for 3 life, but its converted mana cost is 3, so you get a 3/3.
Oh, right? My God, that's so good.
right? Isn't that good? Biting Rain. Madness is 3. All creatures get -2/-2 till end of turn, but it costs 4. So your 4/4 would be a 2/2 that turn, but still, it could be a thing. Yeah, Broken Concentration. Right, exactly.
4/4.
When you go to block or attack.
Right.
Broken Concentration. Normally a blue-blue 1 counter-target spell. This is a Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Blue and 3. Less good, but it makes it easier to cast. We talked about the Chilling Grasp. We talked about Under the Floorboards. The problem with Under the Floorboards is if you do it for X, the converted mana cost is still going to be 5. But that means you could go black, black, and 1 to make 1 zombie.
Right. And they lose 1 life, and you get a 5/5.
And they'll lose, and you'll get a 5/5. Plus, potentially, you'll get a 1/1. Gaea's Bidding. Let's look at this Gaea's Bidding again, whatever it's called. This is a black and 2. You get 2 zombies and a 4/4.
That's so busted.
I'm starting to fall in love with this idea. Murderous Compulsion. Destroy target tapped creature unless you madness it. And then... it does the same thing, I guess. Welcome to the Fold. It's a blue-blue and 2. Madness, blue-blue and X. Gain control of target creature if its toughness is 2 or less. If Welcome to the Fold's Madness cost was played, instead gain control of that creature if its toughness is X or less. I steal your best creature, right? I steal your best creature, and I make a 4/4?
Right.
I'm falling in love with this idea, son. Like, what's better? Like, call the Bloodline? We just need another black or blue Madness outlet that's awesome. It's got to be something.
Yeah, like...
Plus, you already have all these headstones. Madness return target creature to its owner's hand. But normally, it costs two, but it costs you one blue. Nagging Thoughts does some work. Oh, man, we just need another discard outlet in black, blue, or as an artifact. I'm just going to see if I can scan. Oh, I didn't hit standard, so now I have a 1,000 million results. Anyway, if you guys take this idea and run with it, let us know, because I think that would be amazing. Jeez, look how much content we got out of a random person's deck. Thank you, Din Illo. I'm sorry, it looks like dildo to me. I'm sorry. I can't not see it.
I can't unsee the dildo.
That's right. It's massive. Why has it got to be orange? Why wouldn't it be orange? I'm looking here super fast to see if I can find a good Madness outlet. And then we will move on to our game this week. Catalog? Draw two, discard one.
Oh,
at instant speed.
Plus get a 3.
Cryptbreaker. Make a 2/2. Activate your Madness. 3 zombies. Draw a card.
God, that's so gross. Well, so it's,
oh my god.
So it's Crypt Breaker. So you make it, you make a 2/2. You play a spell, making a 2/2 and a 4/4. And then you pay the 3, tap the 3 zombies to draw a card.
Correct. And lose a life.
God, whatever. So busted.
I mean, I think there's some potential in here for some shenanigans.
I think you should.
I think it smells a little bit much like Magical Christmas Land.
Right.
It's, I mean, but how sweet a Christmas you're having.
Right.
This is a Travis deck if I've ever heard one. All right. So for this week's game.
Do you have the Crypt Breakers?
I bought Crypt Breakers, yes.
So you have
they're a dollar card.
Yeah, well, I don't have any.
Oh god, he's trying to make me build this deck.
Yeah.
Let's finalize the deck list off camera.
Okay.
Right? And I will see if Remington can proxy it up or whatever, and we'll try it.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Potentially, like, sit the sleeves in such a way that we can just throw it together. No problem. All right, so this week's game, one of our favorite holidays, not my favorite holiday. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. What's your favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving,
yeah. But my second favorite holiday is Halloween, in theory. Right? I honestly don't like any part of it. I don't like kids coming to my door. I don't like kids. I don't like people in masks.
I like all the slutty outfits and the candy.
I don't even like slutty outfits and candy because
get out of my country.
The people who are wearing the slutty outfits probably should not have those outfits on.
Look,
and
jailbait want to look
none of us
too.
That's the problem, and none of us need more candy in our lives. We're all fat pigs, and we need to lose some weight.
I ate a bunch of candy at work today.
I bet also this was all during your 8 hours of work.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a lot of downtime. It was a Wednesday and school was in, so.
All right, so.
I was there and I was standing.
This is what I want to do. All right, so I have a website here from goodhousekeeping.com.
Is this one I need to click?
Quality website. You can, but no. I'll do all the talky things.
Oh, good.
And it is 25 Halloween games that you could make. And what I want to do is figure out how we would build these things and make them magic themed instead of just Halloween themed.
So I'm going to interrupt you. Do you have Steam? Yes.
I do have Steam.
Did you partake in any of the Halloween special sales?
I did not know anything about it. I barely have Steam. I have Steam for two reasons. One, they gave away Portal, like, and Civilization 6.
Okay.
That is all. I know nothing about Steam.
I got, because during Halloween they did, and I'm not sure if they did do this every year because I don't really pay attention that much, but they had a Halloween sale where all the, like, a lot of horror games were on sale, just 70 to 80% off.
Nice.
I got all three Dead Risings. And both Left 4 Dead games, $20. Like $25 total.
Like, if I was into those games, I bet that would be really impressive.
Well, Dead Rising's really good. Because it's a zombie game.
I imagine that to be true. I've played, like, exactly one zombie game, and I cannot tell you for the life of me what it is right now. But we got it for Remington for one Christmas because that's the kind of parents we are. And we sat around and I think it was on a GameCube maybe. And we all sat around and you could go up to four players and we sat around and we played this game for like 16 hours straight instead of doing Christmas stuff. It was awesome.
Good.
Okay, so concept. Here's a game. Here's a game. This is how they have it for Halloween. How can we magic this?
Okay.
So the first one, and I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to share this screen, actually. I'm going to put this over here. Oh, I hate you, computer. Get over here. All right. Screen one. Game one. Frankenstein bowling. Paint faces on cans. Then stack the scary dudes and see how many you can knock over with a tennis ball.
Okay.
So how would you magic this?
Have you ever thrown cards at people?
No, but I have been irritated by you as you've thrown cards at me.
And just imagine if you had a mask on.
No, thank you.
I have thrown.
So this is what I was thinking. You have. It's awesome. Thanks. So this is what I'm thinking. And you tell me. His name is Travis's. So you take old tokens.
Okay.
Right? Stuff that you're not using. And potentially old commons or uncommons that you have extra copies of. And you, instead of paint the cans, maybe you paint the cans all black or something or whatever color you like, and then you put the cards on the cans, right? With like some duct tape, or not duct tape, that would defeat the purpose, like clear tape, mm-hmm. or some sort of glue, and then protect the cards. You can do all sorts of stuff like this. You could have the kids knocking down stacks of cans with magic cards on them, like knock down the angels, knock down the slivers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to need to see your face really quick.
You see my face? Oh, God, he's going to throw a card at me. Beautiful face.
So, did you ever hear what I got Joe last year for Christmas?
No, I did not know.
All right. So, Joe and I have this really fun habit of getting each other garbage for Christmas. And the word token just kind of reminded me that I got him a garbage Christmas present last year that involved magic cards. So I sent him a box, and it was just the video card box that I had. And, you know, I sent it to him, and it was pretty heavy because I loaded it up with token cards and straws. And I told him,
and straws.
Yeah, no, I sent him like 300 straws. It was hilarious because one day we were riding around in this car and I decided that all of his straws needed to be cut.
Okay. I think I heard this story once before.
Okay. So I sent him a bunch of straws as a reparation for my bad deed. And then I sent him a bunch of tokens. I think I sent him like 300-something token cards. And I told him that there is a rare in there. And he had to find it.
Please tell me you didn't put a rare in there.
Oh, no, I did. But it was Battle of Wits, so it's not really a rare.
Okay.
So he was like, okay, I understand the straws, and I understand wasting my time to find Battle of Wits, but I don't understand the tokens. And I was just like, because, Joe, it's a token of our friendship. And he was just like,
there you go.
God damn it, you got me with a pun, and I didn't even notice.
That's it. That's how that works. I think we should do something special for Christmas. We'll think about it. But I think we should have some sort of special gift for everybody who listens. Like maybe we record a not-so-public cast, like a shorter one off the side, and we'll put it on one of our servers privately and not link it, and people will have to email us to get the copy of the link or something. We'll have a bonus. I don't know, something like that. Or we can just work together and troll the hell out of Joe for Christmas.
Go on.
Okay. Not right now. We'll talk about it off camera. Oh, right. I don't want him to have any spoilers.
Well, I mean...
And Nathan. Nathan's currently my favorite.
He's so much fun.
I can't tell you why. He's the best.
I've been trolling him since...
All right, school. So number... I haven't known him that long. So number two, Candy Corn Witch Pitch. Mini cauldrons that turn an oversized bag of candy corn into a carnival game. I don't have an idea off the top of my head how to magic this game. Maybe this is where you do your card throw, right? Like you put them and you make deck boxes, like big deck boxes. And then you have to stand across the line and throw the cards into the deck boxes. But even then, that seems hard.
I don't think we're going to get a good game out of any of these.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. 8-legged cornhole. So far, I'm already on board. I don't even know what this game is. I'm just on board. Is. Swap out a traditional cornhole bean bags for fluffy, colorful spiders and decorate your boards with spider webs.
All right, so the game Cornhole.
Olio.
So do you know what that game is?
Isn't that like the bean bag throwing game?
Right. When I first saw it, it was when I was in North Carolina, and I called it the retards version of Horseshoe. And people got so upset with me. I was like, what?
Imagine why.
Like, y'all are drunk. I did not want to see you guys throwing a horseshoe. And they're just like, oh, yeah, we are. That is kind of a
good Why wouldn't example. You just call it, like the drunk version of Horseshoe? Why it had to be specifically... retard.
Because I was already drunk when I saw the game.
Done. So, all right, gotcha.
That was there.
So how do we magic this? How do we magic this up? Other than just like putting magic cards on the board, and instead of having spiders or bean bags, you like make your own bean bags?
Honestly, a lot of these games just involve throwing magic cards.
That's every time. Candy Corn Bingo. This Halloween board swaps out snoozy numerals with witches' hats, ghosts, black cats. Purchase a bag of colorful candy corn to use as markers. This I'm actually on board with.
All right, so this one's kind of easy. So each column can be a one of the magic colors. So be, you know, instead of bingo, it's blue, white, red, green, black, or whatever. And then okay. Each down column can be, like, I don't know, creature, sorcery, planeswalker, instant, artifact, or something like that. And then basically you just call the game out. So, like, blue instant. Run it back like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Let me see if I can kick this up a notch real fast. Can you tell me what you think?
Okay.
So you make a card, right? Mm-hmm. And the card has things on it like get a spell countered. Creature die to a double block. Kill your, you know, make your opponent throw his cards on the table. And frustration. Stuff like that, right? And then at your, you hand these out on the Friday Night Magic, close to whatever you're doing it on, be it Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whenever. Just random holiday or random magic bingo, Friday Night Magic bingo. And then as people play and they get their bingos off, then basically when they get a bingo, they win a free pack or something, right? But you put little specific things that come up in the middle of a magic game and have those be your squares on the bingo. You muted yourself because you're playing with your beard.
I wasn't playing with it. I was combing it.
So, I know. I kind of like your idea as well. The problem is that you don't necessarily want them all to be the same thing, like a checklist.
Right.
And I'm afraid that's what you'd end up having with, like, you know, instant sorcery, blah, blah, blah. Let's look here. Bind items. Raid your fridge for slimy, squishy, or crunchy foods and hide them inside DIY cubbies. Label the spaces with eerie doppelgangers and watch kids. This is like when you make them close their eyes and touch a bowl of peeled grapes and you call them eyeballs. This is dumb. Moving on. Popping pumpkins. Orange balloons topped with green leaves become instant pumpkins, but are they hiding something inside? Yeah, it's also dumb. Candy corn count. Just a friendly competition. Everyone can eat some after their guesses are tallied. This could be fun. You just pile a bunch of magic cards into a jar and they have to guess how many cards are inside.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one or two more. Let's get to 10. Skeleton puzzle. Make DIY bones out of foam and hot glue, a magnet on better. Each. Cut a board.
Even better. Rip a card to shreds. Make people fix it. And then when they discover it's a thopter-copter or whatever, a smuggler's copter, then they get upset. Happy Halloween.
Boom. Done. All right. Poke a pumpkin. Cheaper, not to mention lower maintenance than a pinata, this plastic cup pumpkin hides a small toy. So this is where you, like, take the cups and you, like, punch inside and grab the thing out, but you cover them right. with, like, paper or whatever.
Right. Okay.
This is so, this game's also dumb.
So all of them... No. I just made it better. All of them except for two have magic cards in them, right? One of them is going to be filled with spiders. Like real live spiders.
Better.
Not little plastic ones.
Better. Okay, how about this? How about this?
The other one is going to be filled with a knife. So you punch it in there and then you get reverse Wolverine.
Okay. I like where your head's at on some of these things.
That's the treat.
But how about this? That's the treat. You get Wolverined.
Yeah, that's the trick.
That's the trick. Okay, how about this, right? So you build one of these cut boards, the punch hole boards, right? Mm-hmm. And you do this as a fundraiser for the magic shop. Like, we adopt a family for Christmas every year, right? So instead, we build one of these boards. And some of them, there's, like, packs of magic. Sometimes there's, like, rares of different values inside there. Sometimes you're going to get a poopy token, right? Maybe you're going to get a couple of foil full art lands, whatever. You just kind of fill them with random stuff from the shop that's laying around. Maybe some of them are filled with, like, two packs, whatever. And you for $5, you can pick and punch your hole and take the goodie out. And, of course, all that money goes to your Christmas family or whatever donations that you're trying to raise. That's, like, the only way I could ever see making something like a like that kind of board useful. Unless, of course, you filled some of them with spiders.
Right. Because then you also get the satisfaction of watching people freak out.
Sure, sure. But you also have the disadvantage of trying to figure out how to get spiders in a cup.
Oh, that's not difficult.
All right, last one. Ghost pinata. These DIY ghost pinatas are easy, but make super cute decorations. You know what I want? Before you get in here, I want to make the Planeswalkers pinatas.
Okay.
Right? I want to make a Jace pinata, a Garruk, an Obnixilis pinata. Like all the people I just want to punch in the face until they die pinata.
Okay, so why Garruk?
Because he didn't kill everybody. He failed. He's a failure. He deserves to be broken open and have his insides eaten. So you can become a Planeswalker. You steal their spark that way.
Yeah, just like a Transformer.
Mm-mm-mm. Eat their spark and you get to take their power. Oh, take my power, Optimus. And now you have wings. How do I have wings? All right, never mind.
It doesn't matter.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening / watching this week's episode of Two Trolls Over Brew. You can, of course, check out this episode and all past episodes at samusgrobo.com. And you can check out youtube.com/samusgrobo if you'd like to check out the video episodes. So if you want to see my face, Iron Man's ding dong, Travis shave his or comb his beard, all the exciting stuff. So youtube.com/samusgrobo. Of course, you can send us an email like Nathan does, like others have done. And if you put a deck link in it, like Joe, maybe we'll actually be able to look at your deck. Probably not, but maybe. Specifically you, Joe. Of course, you can also check us out on Twitter. I'm Samus Grovo. He's TurtlePower319. And, of course, I'd also ask if you enjoyed this show, please check out my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/SamusGrovo. I stream video games there Monday through Friday. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
True.
Travis, do you have any final thoughts for us this week or anything excitement? Like a colorful story, anything?
Colorful story.
Please don't just say no again and hang up.
Well, there's no colorful stories. But I am excited for not this Friday, but the Friday after, because Commander.
The election will be over?
Oh, yeah, the
Commander decks. They look like a lot of fun.
I was just thinking Commander
decks. We'll probably have to talk about Commander decks next week, I think. Remind me to please put it on the show notes.
Please tell me you're going to get one.
I will probably get them all eventually, assuming we still have them in stock. Like, I don't buy anything first. I let all the customers get everything they want first, and then I kind of get the leftovers.
I always try to get one.
I try to get one of each one because it's the same thing. We've talked about this several times where I like to buy the pre-cons and the stuff like that and keep them together. So when people come together, they don't always have magic decks, but they want to play. And that way, basically, everyone's on the same playing field with this, with the terrible pre-con. every once in a while you'll get a gem out of nowhere, but it does, I think, in my opinion, keep the playing field relatively even. How excited are you for Doctor Strange? That's this week.
Doctor Strange is definitely going to be. I hope it doesn't flop.
Well, it's already made a ton of money overseas.
Right.
And the wife and I are going to go see it on Friday. We're taking the day off work. We're going to go down to Wichita and try to watch it in IMAX.
Yeah, I'm probably going to check it out on Monday. Maybe even Sunday. Yeah, nobody.
I assume you're the. Probably not. You've got a much larger city where you live.
Yeah, but.
So you probably even have an IMAX theater. Really? You guys don't have an IMAX up there?
Not that I know of. And our movie theater is up here. And it is awful.
That's super lame.
Like, before.
Yeah, I.
When I was living in Flying, I'd go to the movie every week. But I think I've only been like 3 times since I moved up here.
Yeah, the Flina Theater, why not perfect, is pretty okay. They're above average. But I just kind of feel like I missed something with Inception by not seeing an IMAX theater. I don't know if it was available in IMAX theater. But I've seen a bunch of other stuff in an IMAX theater. And sometimes it's like, oh, amazing. And I just had that feeling from Doctor Strange. So they're doing a lot of that same, like, world warping stuff, and I just want to be like all encompassed by the awesome of it.
True.
Here's hoping.
Troll on, everybody.
Troll on, everybody. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to vote.